Joining us on the line now is Francisco Migoya. He's the head chef at Modernist Cuisine and the co-author of Modernist Bread and Modernist Pizza. Modernist Pizza is the definitive guide to the world's most popular food. This groundbreaking set of three books is the culmination of exhaustive research, travel and experiments to collect and advance the world's knowledge of pizza. Welcome to the show, Francisco.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And I imagine this was an extremely fun set of books to put together, was it?
It was fun. It was a long process. It took us a little over 4 years to complete it. But yes, there was a lot of traveling, a lot of writing, a lot of experimenting, a lot of eating pizza. There is such a thing as too much pizza, believe me. we've experienced it. But yes, it was a very long process to get to those three books that that came out October of last year.
Yeah. And through all the research and all the pizzas that you've eaten and made, obviously, over the last few years, has your opinion on pizzas changed? I mean, did you used to have a favorite before you started this process, which has now changed?
I think with pizza, at least for me personally, there isn't like one style that I specifically liked above all others. I think if anything, this showed me that the world of pizza is ample, that there are even more styles that we thought of before we started this journey into the research of it. There was a point though where I had enough pizza, and it took me a few months to love it again. But I would say that if anything, it made me really appreciate other styles of pizza and what is done around the world.
Do places around the world do it very, very differently then?
Yes. I mean, you know, the original style is Neapolitan style. And if your listeners haven't had it before, the pizza is rather soft. It's a soft crust. It's a little bit, you know, you pick up a slice and it kind of like tips down. So it's a different experience from pretty much all other styles of pizza. That is a little crispier crust. It's a little sturdier of a slice. It takes a little bit longer to bake and so forth. So if you go to, for example, Argentina, Buenos Aires specifically, there it's a really thick crust and it has enormous amounts of cheese on top. I'm not even exaggerating. You cut a slice and there's so much cheese that the melted cheese just like drapes over the slice of pizza. Or that you go to Sao Paulo and it's like very thin, almost like cracker thin crust. So it does vary. It's very interesting how every sort of like group of people has embraced pizza and interpreted it to its tastes, to the ingredients they have, to the types of ovens they have. So it's a very adaptable food at the end of the day.
One of the items that I noticed many hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, bought during lockdown was a pizza oven. I noticed on social media, people were buying pizza ovens and making pizzas at home in their garden, in their new oven. Is that the best way to cook a pizza, would you say?
It depends. I mean, I think that there's, you know, if you can bake pizza in a home oven, most people have just a home oven. Most home ovens aren't really all that good. In fact, almost all of them, because they serve so many purposes that they don't really do any one thing particularly well. But there's a few things that you can do to make good pizza at home, like in your regular oven, which is to use what is called a baking steel, which is like a slab of metal that's about 2 centimeters thick, and it really gives like a pizzeria style crust to your pizza. It's like a small investment, but it really ups your pizza game, if you will. It makes it a little bit more like if you had ordered it from a pizzeria.
And what's that called, sorry?
It's called a baking steel.
Okay.
So some people use a baking stone for baking bread at home, but the baking steel is metal. Metal is a lot better at not just absorbing heat, but also radiating it. And so it's something that we recommend above a baking stone or above, really. You know, some people don't use anything at all. So this piece of metal, this slab of metal, really makes for better pizza. But for people who are like, I guess, more interested and more into, you know, different styles of pizza, there are, like, for example, the Uni pizza oven or the Rockbox pizza oven, which are like portable outdoor ovens that get really hot. They produce those. Actually, we tested them. They produce some really good pizza. The only downside is that you have to use it outside. I mean, it's not something you can have inside your house. So if you live in an apartment building, you pretty much can't use that type of oven. Yeah. But there are some home like appliances, like Breville makes like a pizza oven that is exclusively for pizzas, it's single use, meaning it's for pizzas, but it makes really good pizzas. So again, it really depends on how interested a person is in producing pizza at home.
Mm. One of the most controversial pizza toppings, I think it has to be said, is the Hawaiian pizza. The idea, yes, of having pineapple on pizza is one of those love or hate things, isn't it? Some people love it and others say pineapple, right, does not belong on a pizza. What do you, right, think?
Well, you know, I think that the first something very interesting is that Hawaiian pizza was invented in Canada. I don't know how many people know that, but it's Canadian in origin. It's not Hawaiian / American in origin. So if we have to blame anybody, we blame the Canadians. It really is a matter of taste. We do have a recipe in our book for Hawaiian toppings for pizza where, you know, what the reason, like, why I would personally not ever order Hawaiian pizzas, because in most pizzerias, if you order Hawaiian, it's canned pineapple. It's almost like putting candy on top of a pizza. It's like so sweet. And so our recipe basically roasts the pineapple slowly. It kind of like treats it more like a chef would treat a piece of fruit or a vegetable, which is with a little more care, a little bit more attention to how it's being handled to produce a better flavor. That's not like, again, like putting candy on top of pizza. So we contrast that with basically, it's a type of preparation for cooking pork that is utilized in Hawaiian cuisine that's called kalua pork, which is cooked in for a long period of time surrounded by banana leaves. And so we're basically creating a Hawaiian pizza that we like, we enjoy, we can live with. And that's the recipe that we provide in the book. I don't necessarily enjoy, like I said, opening a can of pineapples. It just does not taste good to me.
Yeah.
And to many people. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. And did you look into the idea of sweet pizzas? You know, the idea of having chocolate smeared all over a pizza with bits of marshmallow on the top, or is that not a pizza? Is a pizza supposed to be savory with a tomato base?
Well, I think that, you know, we did go to numerous pizzerias that offered dessert pizzas. It was a bit baffling to us, mostly because you've already had, you know, dough, like all this dough, and then now here's more dough, but with sugar on top of it.
Yeah.
But in some cases, it was interesting. There was one pizzeria in Naples. It's called 50 Kalo, K-A-L-O. I think they actually have a pizzeria in London and like a franchise there. But anyway, so they would put white chocolate on top of the pizza, bake it, and the white chocolate would caramelize in the oven. Like, so turn brown. And so produced like an interesting flavor. It was definitely, again, you're eating all this dough, you're having more dough. It's a little too much. We do have a couple of recipes in our book for dessert pizzas. But it does seem, I don't know. I feel like after I had a large pizza, I'd probably want something a little bit lighter, like, yeah, ice cream or sorbet or something, more than having yet another pizza.
Yeah, so, no, definitely.
But it does exist. There's, yeah, a whole world of dessert pizzas out there.
And I understand during your research, you were able to establish that you can get pizza in almost every country on Earth.
That is correct. There are two places where it is confirmed that there is no pizza. There is two countries. One of them is Tuvalu, which is like a small island in the Pacific. The other is another island, which name escapes me right now. But it just goes to prove that you can get, even in Antarctica and Greenland, you can get pizza. It's everywhere. It is, you could easily say with great, certainty that pizza is possibly the most popular food on Earth, because it's in every sort of culture and population you can think of.
That's really interesting. And when was the first pizza? What were you able to trace when and why and where the first pizza was made?
We were able to find the first mention of pizza as we know it today in a publication, an Italian publication, from 1799. And the reason why there isn't a lot of information on the origins itself of pizza is because pizza has always been, or at least in its origins, was a food for peasants, for poor people. And so academics, you know, scientists of the time didn't really bother all that much with studying that part of the population or seeing, you know, anthropologically what mattered as far as what they were eating. So it wasn't something that was taken seriously enough to write about at those times. So 1799 is the first time we see any sort of like documentation about it. Before that, it does exist in certain books, but what they're describing when they say pizza has nothing to do with pizza. It's really discussing something more about that is really dessert, which is funny because we just talked about that. But
yeah,
it was more referring to like a sweet tart with almond meal and sugar and dried fruit. And so all it shared with pizza was the fact that it was round. But the first pizzerias in Naples are documented to have existed towards the end of the 19th century. So between 1860, 1879, which was the unification, there were already established pizzerias that are documented and found in publications. So we know that at least pizzerias have been serving pizza since the mid to late 1800s. With documentation proving its existence in 1799. So a bit of a murky history there. There is some text that exists about it, but in reality, we believe people have been eating pizza since way before that. Yeah. But that is just a supposition.
And were you able to find the oldest pizzeria in the world, the one that's been open for the longest time?
Yeah, but that also is a little bit murky. There is it's because of documentation, but the oldest pizzerias are in Naples. Some of them are over 100 years old.
Wow.
There's one. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. They're over 100 years old. There's, I think, 5 of them, and they've all been in the same family for multiple generations. So that is incredible. That is something that is those are roots. That is something that is in a family and that stays in a family for, you know, a century. It matters. And it's interesting to see, you know, what their pizza looks like. It's not all that different from other pizzerias, but the fact is that pizza has adapted to the ingredients we have these days and to what's available these days. But possibly the oldest pizzeria is from the 1880s in Naples. It's called Portalba. Or the door of Alba. But again, there's the documentation on it is a little bit murky. So we, you know, for some of these, we can't really say for certain what year they were open, but at least, like I said, 5 pizzerias that are over 100 years old in Naples.
Gosh, amazing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask you, which I'm sure people will have been in the same dilemma many a time, if you mm-hmm. order pizza, you get a takeaway pizza and you can't finish it all and there's mm-hmm. some left over, but you don't want to throw it away. The next day, right. It's, you know, cold pizza isn't always as good. I understand you've right. got in one of the books, strategies for enhancing leftover pizza at home. Tell us.
Yes. I mean, that's what happens with pizza as soon as it starts to cool down is that it starts to decay. It's not obvious, right? Because even if it's still warm or at room temperature, it's still pretty tasty. It's good to eat. But, you know, there's a lot of evaporation that occurs on the dough, under the cheese, especially the cheese is, I think, what suffers most because cheese is an emulsion. So you have fat separating out, you have water evaporating. So if the cheese was initially stringy and it had that pull, once it cools down and you reheat it, it's not going to be exactly the same because it's lost its integrity. Mm. So some of the things that we like to do, like an easy way to enhance it is if you basically put 2 slices together face to face, meaning cheese to cheese, and you put it on in a pan and you cook one side and then you flip it over and cook the other side, it crisps up the crust on the outside. It warms it up. And then it sort of melts the cheese on the inside. And so it creates this almost like pizza sandwich, like grilled cheese sandwich, but a pizza. And so that's a nice texture. Even there's these grills that are like for panini grills.
Yeah.
That, you know, heat the top and the bottom. Those are great for reheating pizza. Like if you wrap the pizza in foil, or even also, like I said, putting two slices together works great. You know, there are ways. I mean, of course, when we want to have reheated pizza, we're kind of in a rush, right? Because we're hungry and we just want to reheat it. So the fastest way is a small toaster oven if you have something like that, because it heats up quickly. Microwave is the absolute worst way to reheat a pizza. So it's something that you want to avoid completely because it comes out chewy, hot in some spots, cold in other spots. So yeah. I highly discourage people from using a microwave. But the pan method really works well, in our opinion.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And a big question, I'm sure, but in your opinion, what makes a good pizza?
Well, it is a big question because depending on the style, it's going to be different aspects that we're looking for. So, for example, if we're looking at Neapolitan style, one of the aspects is that it should not be crispy. But if we're looking at a New York style pizza, it's crispier. And so there's different aspects depending on the style of pizza. So it'll vary from pizza to pizza. We're looking at, for example, Detroit style, it's a thicker slice, or Roman al taglio pizza, it's also like more bread-like. So we're looking for different things depending on the pizza. Spend hours trying to explain what the quality aspects are, but in a nutshell, it will vary from style to style what we're looking for.
I always think when I get a pizza and there isn't much topping on it, you mm-hmm. know, if you're having, let's say, a mushroom pizza, for example, mm-hmm. and there's like four half slices of mushrooms
sure.
on a big uh-huh. pizza, so you end up with slices that don't have the topping on it, I find that annoying.
Right.
I think chefs should take more care making sure that the topping is evenly distributed
yes.
on the pizza.
That is one of my pet peeves, too, when we were traveling, we were seeing different pizzerias. Put the toppings on top. Sometimes they were just like kind of thrown on top, and there was like areas that had more, areas that had less.
Yeah.
And you know, there does need to be symmetry. It doesn't need to be perfect, but yes, every slice should have more or less the same amount of topping so that everybody can basically have the same experience with the size of pizza. So yes, it's a big thing to try to keep them all together.
Yeah. And with all the pizza that you've tried all over the world, there must be one, or probably more than one, but if you had to pick one that kind of stands out in your mind as being mm-hmm. amazing, that you really, really enjoyed for whatever reason, which one was it?
Well, there's two, and for very different reasons. The pizza that I enjoy making the most, because it's the most technically and method intense pizza, would be Neapolitan. It is exciting to cook your first pizza, and it's even more exciting when the first one comes out well. It takes 60 seconds to cook, so you have to be on your toes when you're cooking it. So technique wise, that's my favorite, but flavor and texture wise, I really love thin crust pizzas. I love that they have this like crunchy cracker-like texture. They're very easy to eat. They're easy to make too. So it's, if I'm making pizza at home, that's my go-to, because it's a dough that I can, from mixing to cooking, it's 3 hours. Even if I wanted to hold it overnight in refrigeration, it also holds really well as a dough. So it's a very user-friendly pizza that people can make at home, even in restaurants or what have you. It is one of my favorites, mostly for that textural and flavor component.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. You made me want to have pizza for sure. I expect a lot of people listening are going, oh, pizza, got to get a pizza.
Always a good idea.
Yeah,
pizza's always a good
definitely,
idea.
Definitely, definitely. Well, your trilogy of books is a great idea as well. It'll make a fantastic addition to any kitchen. It's called Modernist Pizza, and it's by Francisco Migoya, who we've been chatting with today. Francisco, thanks so much for joining us. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Thank you very much. Always great to talk about pizza. Thanks.